one of the stereotypes of people with autism, when we don't presume intelligence, is that they're, quote, in their own little world, and the stereotype is the person will sit in a corner and rock and babble and laugh and carry on. Well, I've got a different take on that based upon the information that I'm gathering and what I've observed. And what I'm seeing is what appears to be a two-way interaction. And I'll be really curious to see if any parents call in and validate this. Same time of day, usually every day, same spot from which the person emerges joyful and jubilant and full of good humor. And from the people who can speak with autism, they're talking about angels, and they're talking about interacting with angels. And let's acknowledge, as you just did, and I did too, we're talking about folks who signed up for a really difficult life. And I don't believe that persons who appear to be severely impaired are thrust into this world to fend for themselves without some sort of guidance and mentorship from something divine. And that may be a little bit far out there for some people to appreciate, but this is what I'm seeing consistently for many, not all, many people with autism, is that respite that seems to occur on a regular basis where they are being given guidance and feeling rejuvenated.
You use the phrase signed up for it. And, you know, three quarters of the world, half the world believes in reincarnation, karma. And they might suggest that that's exactly what happens, that that people like the autistics would choose this particular path. Do you go that far?
I would say that is so for a number of people that have told me that. And I think some of that's in the autism prophecies. One little fella talks about trying to decide prior to being born whether he was going to go with his mom here in the States or be born to a Japanese couple. And he decided his mom here because Japanese was too hard to learn.
Back to the darker side that you make reference to, in addition to some of the kids, some of the autistics having these experiences and things that come from the sky, there are on occasion some sort of dark side. And as you mentioned in this book, I mean, what better victim could there be? The, you know, autistic wake up screaming, yelling, their parents are think they just want attention in the middle of the night, whereas you raise the possibility they're being tormented.
Again, we're back to myths and stereotypes.
Sure.
And misinterpretations.
Understood. Yeah.
And, you know, when you are inherently gentle and exquisitely sensitive and you're vibrating at a frequency different than the average person and you're open to things seen and unseen, there's good stuff that comes with that or can come with that. And then I think you're also wide open to perceiving the bad stuff. And I do believe that there are presences in this universe that are very ill-intended that will seize upon opportunities to take hold and create a vicious cycle and feed from that negativity to keep someone down. And what more perfect victim than the person who is already stigmatized, than the person who for whom people do not presume intelligence, for the person who everyone interprets everything they do as stereotypical or extreme behaviors that really do have meaning. And what I am seeing, George, is a dramatic spike in many young people with autism being absolutely terrorized. And the kids and young people who can speak are telling me what they're seeing, and it's been consistent. They're waking up between midnight and 3 a.m., screaming in terror, horrible nightmares, and they're describing shadowy figures, hooded figures, and red eyes is also consistent. And the longer that goes ignored, or the longer that gets chalked up to the myths and stereotypes of which I've been talking about, the more it takes hold in the family's home.